answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So we built a thing called the Panama Canal. We lost 35,000 people to the mosquito, you know, malaria.
Yeah.
We lost 35,000 people building. We lost 35,000 people because of the mosquito. Vicious. They had to build under nets. But this is one of the true seven wonders of the world. And you take a look at the Panama Canal. It was such an incredible engineering marvel. We sold it under Jimmy Carter. We sold it to Panama for $1. The following day, they quadrupled the amount of money the ships had to pay to get across. They didn't lose one ship. And now they've made it much bigger, and now they've widened it. They've doubled it, right? They've more than doubled it. And it's one of the most profitable things. Any time, it's just incredible, right? We gave it away for $1.
They gave it away for $1. That was exactly what the Clinton administration did, thinking it should be used for the people of Panama and should let them have control of it again. After we built it, at great expense and a lot of lives lost. I will say right here, Trump is wrong about how many died as the U.S. was building the canal. He was citing a total number. Still a loss of life. I'll break it down for you as we move forward. Thanks for joining us. Hour number two of Larry Connors USA, December 23rd, 2024. We are here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. Except for tomorrow night, Christmas Eve, the birth of our Savior. We will be playing Christmas music throughout the evening tomorrow night. And we're on a best of program on December 25, Christmas Day itself. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You do that by going to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook. And after every program, we post them as a podcast at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. You will never miss a program. If you can't stay with us all this hour or the previous hour, just know you can go back to this date, pull it up, pick up the information you wanted to hear but you missed. In every program, that's something one question raised with me the other day. Said, you know, you put in a lot of facts and details. You're not just blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, I have a degree in BS. I do. One, being born in Texas. And secondly, I have a Bachelor of Science degree, BS. I could just do that, but I'd rather give you details and facts and enlighten you other than just bluffing my way through the program. That's why I try to back it up with a lot of facts and details. So let's specifically go back to the Panama Canal. This is a 51-mile waterway that connects the Atlantic with the Pacific. That became a major opportunity to save any transit going from west to east or east to west, having to go all the way around Argentina and then back up. Massive amount. So it greatly reduces the time. And going around the southern tip of South America, that's also very dangerous. The original locks were 110 feet wide to allow passage of various ships, but they've had a third wider lane of docks constructed between 2007 and 2016. Annual traffic rising from 1,000 ships in 1914 to 44,000 in one of the most recent counts. And then there's another one that shows by 2012, 185,000 vessels passed through the canal. The American Society of Civil Engineers ranking the Panama Canal as one of the seven wonders of the modern world. The first attempt to construct this canal was carried out January 1881. That was what they were hoping to do by a French group. They just had to abandon it, couldn't make it work. President Roosevelt and the U.S. were interested in establishing the canal, so they moved in and got involved and bought into it through the Hayes-Herron Treaty for $10 million in annual payment, giving us a renewable lease in perpetuity from Colombia on the land proposed for the canal. It was ratified by the Senate in 1903. The Senate of Colombia rejected the treaty since it had become unpopular in Bogota. Roosevelt changed tactics, went back to work, and finally got a deal put together. Now, here's the key point. We're talking about the number of deaths, and that's regardless of who they were or who was in charge at the time. That is where there's a big discrepancy in the numbers that Trump was saying in the beginning. He was talking about 30,000, as if they were all 30,000 Americans. There was something like 22,000 killed by that were citizens of other countries in the earlier stages of trying to build the canal. Then about 5,600 Americans, usually due to malaria and or accidents, because it was not an easy job to complete. But it has been beneficial. And the reason Trump wants control again is twofold. One, because we never should have sold it all for a dollar like that. But secondly, and here's the key point, China is now trying to get more involved in South America. And if they get inside and start having control of the Panama Canal, we would be shut out. Now, exactly how and what he's going to do about it, we'll have to see. We know China's already spread across South America. We know they're in Cuba. We know they're everywhere. In fact, they're inside our border because we've allowed them through the Biden administration to come in, unvetted, unchecked. So I think it is a good idea that we get control once again of the Panama Canal. I don't hear at this point, so far, to use my phrase, so far I don't hear any complaints from progressives that we should not have anything to do with it. And when they raise that, I want to hear the reason why. Mostly U.S. money bought and paid for it, along with 5,600 U.S. citizens losing their lives. So I want to hear them defend why we should not do it. And those who do, I want to look immediately for a link between them and any China entity group. That's right in your face, isn't it? That's fine, because I cannot see any reason why we should not take steps right now to protect the Panama Canal. Mayorkas, of course, is supposedly heading up Department of Homeland Security for whatever it amounts to nowadays. He was on NBC over the weekend, and the question got raised about all these missing children. Listen to how this wimp wimps out.
ICE was also unable to account for more than 32,000 unaccompanied kids who failed to appear in court from 2019 to 2023, according to the report we read. The incoming border czar, Tom Homan, says these children are being exploited and trafficked. Is that true?
Well, Margaret, we certainly have received reports of children being trafficked, even those as to whom we know where they are. That is outside the responsibility of the Department of Homeland Security.
Wait. It's outside the responsibility of the Department of Homeland Security if children are trafficked into our country. He will acknowledge here in a moment, well, we have some things to do with it, but then we wash our hands of it. They're not our children anymore. They're in our country, and I think the left is all about, and they keep proclaiming, we need to put the families back together. These children were brought in, possibly stolen from their families, or sold by their families to the cartel. Or some actually thought, you know, my child will have a better life in the U.S. if they get there safely. Not truly realizing, as dumb as some of the Democrats in this country are, there are pedophiles anxious for these children to be brought in. Mayorkas continues his nonsense.
There are children who are reunited with a parent here in the United States, or a legal guardian, and they move. And sometimes the government loses track. Individuals do not comply with their reporting obligations or otherwise. I think it is inaccurate to say that all of them are trafficked or victimized. There are a number of reasons why we might lose track of an individual. That is not necessarily specific to this administration. That has been a long-standing challenge in the immigration system. One example of why that system is so broken, why the duration of time in proceedings is unacceptably long and has to be remedied. Remember, we're dealing with a system that was last reformed in 1996.
They are going to continue to fall back on that each and every time. But his statement, these children here, we're not necessarily sure that they were trafficked. If they came from somewhere below our border and into our country, they were trafficked. Period. Oh, well, maybe they were brought by their parents. That's still trafficking children across our lines, our border. But that's really a cop-out. Those who came with their true parents, well, we really don't know what the number is, because we've ceased DNA testing and ceased trying to verify. In the beginning, we couldn't anyway. That's why Trump separated a child from the adults that brought them across. We didn't know if that's their mother, their father. And you remember the outcry from the Democrats? How dare he separate children from their parents? Such a trauma. The bigger trauma is when that child is turned over to a den of pedophiles. The left cannot justify what they've done. So they want to fall back, say, we have a broken migration system. We should fix it. You say that all day, but two things, as I've said over and over again. One, you close a border, you make me think, okay, now you're serious. Two, every leftist out there that is worried about it, you open up your home for illegals. Just open up your home. Let them come stay with you and your children. Maybe sleep in the bed with your children. You're not going to do that. In fact, I'd fight to protect your child if you were doing that. Progressives concern that right now Elon Musk might have way too much power in the Trump White House. That is a laugh. That is a laugh, considering how they used social media power in the Biden White House.
And I don't know who needs to hear this, but an unelected billionaire with a lot of government contracts appearing to call the shots in Congress is not exactly a healthy sign of democracy. By the way, all that fear-mongering Republicans and the right wing have pushed about liberal billionaire donors like George Soros all seems pretty rich right now, considering what Elon Musk has been up to over just the last couple of days. I mean, right now, Musk is basically flaunting his influence in order to bully elected lawmakers and government officials. He has singled out relatively unknown federal officials and workers whose jobs he wants to cut. And he has already warned Republicans standing in his and Trump's way that he will fund primary challengers against them. That's one of their favorite threats these days.
The same threats the Democrats make. They make the same threats to their own. And yes, as testified before Congress, Zuckerberg of Facebook admitted, "We were in consultation with the White House. We bent too far. We were just trying to be good Americans, and they wanted us to block and censor other Americans if they, the White House, did not like what they said about COVID vaccines and everything else." That is a far greater power than Musk simply stepping up and saying we need to do a better budget. And to that point, the one conservative on CNN, Scott Jennings.
And I hear Democrats, you know, criticizing the idea that we have unelected people with too much influence over the government. I invite them to pick up the Wall Street Journal from this week and find out that unelected people have been running the government for the last 4 years. I hear Democrats criticizing the influence of billionaires on our politics when you've got this Soros punk running around collecting Democrat politicians like my kids collect Pokemon cards. So I think all the criticism of Musk coming from the left is totally hypocritical, totally over the top. And he is doing something interesting, bringing some transparency to the federal government.
Which we did not get during the Biden administration, or they would have admitted we are coercing social media to follow our rules, our regs, and what we say about COVID and the vaccines. And to punish anyone who steps out of line, to make them disappear off social media. The Gates Ethics Report. We're going to get into that in more detail before we wrap up this hour. But reading the headline from The Hill, which leans left, here's the headline. Gates Ethics Report finds, quote, substantial evidence, quote, of statutory rape and drug use. In the meantime, Gates is floating the bid that he might try to get Florida Senator Rubio's Senate seat as Rubio joins the Trump administration. We'll get into that later in this hour. But first, the Salem Corporation is launching a new documentary, Fentanyl, Death Incorporated. I should add onto their title, brought to you by Joe Biden. But we got one of the film producers joining us when we continue. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wellington Environmental knows this is a rough time for many people, just struggling to make ends meet, and here come the holidays. Wellington is an advisor to the Salvation Army Gateway Citadel. They need more bell ringers, and Wellington has some spots in South County you could help fill. If you sign up six or more to ring a bell for at least an hour, Wellington Environmental will make a customized sign to sit on top of the red kettle for free. Put your company name, your team name, your family name, whatever you want. Call Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com does the same thing. WellingtonSTL.com. Ring a bell this season and help others. One of the greatest pleasures in life is giving. Giving something special to someone just because. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. And you should know that Vincent's has helped raise almost $2 million for local charities. Vincent's Jewelers, St. Louis's premier, full-service, locally owned jewelry store. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day for new items. vincentsjewelers.com, my only jeweler, vincentsjewelers.com. I want you to know that Meguiar Moving and Storage is silver certified, which means Meguiar has a quality reputation helping older adults move local or long distance. And something else to know, Josh McGuire, president of McGuire Moving and Storage, is the only certified moving consultant in Missouri. I'll tell you, once you met Josh, you're going to know your move will be easy. And I fully endorse McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We know fentanyl deaths have increased rapidly throughout our nation, largely because the open border policy and being brought in to our nation. And really very little has been done to stop it at the border because the border is, quote, open. But what do we do now and how do we handle it? Dr. Robert Marbit, he is part of the Salem documentary, Fentanyl Death Incorporated. Thank you for joining us, doctor.
Thank you so very much for having me on. And more importantly, thank you for caring about the fentanyl crisis.
Well, I think everybody should. I mean, I don't know any family member or friend that has been affected by it, but I know absolutely hundreds of thousands do.
And think about this number. A lot of people talk about the annual number, but to give you a perspective why I think this is an existential threat to the United States and our citizens, more people have died from fentanyl in the United States in the last 5 years than all 100 years of wars that USA, wow, that servicemen and women have participated in since World War II. So World War II, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea, Gulf War I, Gulf War II, Global War on Terror, Iraq, a few UN actions, add all the death total up of American men and women, servicemen, all seven branches, plus the intelligence services, and fentanyl's killed more in 5 years than the last 100 years of American servicemen and women at war.
That is a staggering comparison. Dr. Marbit, by the way, is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, serving under three presidential administrations. The documentary itself, we're going to get to it in a moment as to how folks can see it, but you start, obviously, with the premise of just how bad it's gotten, and, of course, you've got those numbers you just stated.
And in what a lot of people, I like your bumper where you talked about this is a direct connection to illegal immigration, and a lot of our friends in the middle and left say, oh, you're trying to mix apples and oranges. There's a direct tie, and we talk about this in the movie. The people coming over illegally are often told they have to carry fentanyl across, or they'll incentivize it and say, we'll get cut $1,000 off your service, our services, if you can take this bag or this suitcase or this package over to the van when they pick you up. The second is, and we talked about this a lot in the movie, where the business side of the cartels, they are insidious, horrible people, but they're great business people. Yeah. They do human trafficking, sex trafficking, illegal immigration services, sort of coyote services, illicit drugs, and now fentanyl. So they'll flood a zone to overwhelm the law enforcement, state, federal, and local, especially in Texas. They'll flood a zone, and then they just walk the fentanyl across like two sectors over where there's no law enforcement. And the third that a lot of people are not aware of now is the Canadian border. Right. Now is the longest border between two countries in the world. And we have people on Border Patrol working on their desk. So they're, quote, on their zone. They're in their sector. They're on patrol, if you are. But they're really spending 8 hours a day working the computer, processing people from the southwest border. Think about that. So our northern border now is being hurt because of what's happened in the southwest border.
And we've talked about that then on this program previously, not only for drugs coming across, but trafficking, terrorists, things of this nature. And Canada was cracking down on anyone. For a period of time, there were those who came into our country from the South, and they realized maybe they'd not be welcome or can't do what they want to do here. They were going to migrate into Canada. Canada was arresting them on the spot if they could catch them and locking them up, whereas they were not then releasing them to go anywhere about Canada as we do.
And you absolutely have, you know, the way I think of it is, and I try to make it as simple as can be. If you want to be a sovereign country, you have to know what is coming in to your country and who's coming into your country, whether it's from the southwest border, the Canadian border, any of our waterways, Alaska, Puerto Rico, or the frontier up in between Canada and Alaska. We got to know who's coming in. And if there's a bad person coming in, whether they're a cartel from Mexico or biker gang from Canada or a terrorist from somewhere else in the world coming through one of our ports or just walking across open area, we need to know that. And we have to stop that. And why the last 4 years of the current administration just was asleep at the switch, just didn't say it. They went out of their way to say it was not a bad thing. It wasn't a big problem. We're overstating it. We're not overstating it.
No way. And on top of that, Dr. Marbot, you're listening to Dr. Robert Marbot with the Fentanyl Death Incorporated Salem production. I know what you meant, but when you said they were asleep at the switch, no, they knew. They knew. They didn't go to sleep on it. They basically agreed open border. What harm could come? What harm could come?
And you're right. I probably should say it more, you know, more pronounced is they purposely and knowingly knew how bad it was and they didn't do anything about it, which is even more egregious.
Yes.
Of what's happened.
And I don't see, and I've stated numerous times on this program, those who believe open border policy and everybody should be able to come into America unvetted, unchecked, I don't see any, and there shouldn't be no mass deportation when Trump comes in. I don't see any of those who are all about open border coming forward and volunteering their homes, their bedrooms, places in their house for the illegals to stay.
And think about it, for if the first 2 years of this administration, the Biden-Harris administration, it was really a Southwest, you know, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas.
Right.
And when Texas started saying, we're going to spread people around and we're going to move you to Chicago and New York and Hyannisport, and, you know, we saw all those stories. Suddenly you had Northern Democrat mayors saying, this is a crisis. And I remember one particular mayor was complaining about 5,000 people they think were there illegally. And I'm like, I live within an hour and a half of a place that gets 5,000 illegal people a day. Oh, a day.
Yeah.
You know, just in one area.
Well, Martha's Vineyard got swarmed with 50. And that was just, oh, my God, get them out of here.
Yeah. And so suddenly, you know, once the rest of the country started seeing what we deal with, you know, and I'm right on the border, you know, right here. And remember that the Hispanic community on the border voted majority in support, first time ever for a Republican, for Donald Trump. And you would go through neighborhoods. I work in two cities and right on the, literally, yeah, 100 feet, 200 feet from the border.
Exactly. Where are you?
I'm in San Antonio today, okay. But I'm working in Laredo and McAllen.
All right.
In Harlingen.
Okay.
And when you're there, right on the, but when I mean right on the border, what place I work in Laredo and a project there is literally 180 feet or so from the border. And you go through those neighborhoods, Hispanic, longtime voting Democrat neighborhoods, and every single block had like a Trump outpost. I don't know what else you would call it. Flags, sign, music, and, you know, red, they had red, white, and blue, and then they had green and white. It was like you something you've never seen before in South Texas. And these are places that didn't even have a Republican Party headquarters. They don't have a Republican Party chair, yet they voted over 50% because their families did it legally, came across the right way, or they were here long before the border changed. And I have family members who've gone through the whole citizenship process that takes 8, 9, 10 years to go through. And they're offended when somebody walks across the border illegally and gets in front of the line, the sort of line skips.
Right.
You don't know who they are. You don't know their paperwork. And by the way, we'll give you a gas card and a food card and a relocation package and a ticket to here and there. And then the people who are doing it illegally, legally in the right way, and where you know so much about a person. The other day, one of my family members got their citizenship, and they had a 14-inch packet of paper that was filled with every possible thing. But then somebody walks across illegally, and you just say, you know, I'm John Doe. And you know no record of them, no understanding where they're coming from.
All right, Dr. Marvin, so, in our closing minute, I want to give you exactly in the last 30 seconds, how can folks see this documentary that you helped produce for Salem?
You can go stream it on Salem Now. So it's a web-based streaming. So you go, type in your computer, is Salem like the city now, like right now. Type it in. It's 1 hour. It's a very fast pace, and it will give you everything you need to know about fentanyl, all aspects of it. And we appreciate Salem for hosting it for us.
Absolutely. Dr. Marvin, I appreciate very much. Salem Now, Fentanyl Death Incorporated. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You bet. Coming up, Matt Gaetz, the difficulties he's facing, but beginning with his thought on the budget and Elon Musk getting involved in it. But boy, are they coming after Gaetz now.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Question: are you looking to unlock the full potential of artificial intelligence for your business? I want you to meet my friends at PRI Global. Named by the St. Louis Business Journal as a leading IT consulting firm. 25 years helping local and worldwide companies. PRI Global has a free survey to determine where your company stands in your AI journey. You simply go to priglobal.ai. priglobal.ai. And I also have a phone number, so get ready to copy that number. And I'll remind you that PRI Global has its own AI lab. Creating, adapting, developing, pushing the boundaries for what AI can do for you. Here's the number, 636-689-0545. 636-689-0545. Or visit priglobal.ai. priglobal.ai. Here's great news. Napoli Kirkwood is now open. So that means fine dining right in the heart of Kirkwood. So you have the original Cafe Napoli in downtown Clayton, Napoli 2, Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, plus Napoli Brothers Pasta and Pizza in the Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, and now adding Napoli Kirkwood. What a great place to dine. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. Renewal by Anderson sponsoring this hour of Larry Connors USA. And let's be honest, most window companies are pushing cheap vinyl windows, adding bells and whistles to make them sound great, but Renewal windows are twice as strong. You do not want to go cheap when you can go with quality and get the nation's best warranty. Check the website, rbastl.com, or dial #250, #250, and say windows.
This is News Talk STL.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and you
gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Just saw it last week. Last week, every lobbyist in Washington, D.C. wanted this 1,500-page bill to pass with billions of dollars in pork, with the funding of the censorship industrial complex, with the funding of bio labs and foreign aid that do not serve America's interests. They had all the wind at their back. They had backed us up against the Christmas break, and thanks to Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Turning Point and the millions of people who are mobilized on X, we defeated the bill of the lobbyists, and we are ready to march on with America First agenda. And the Democrats, they just don't get it. They continue to criticize Elon Musk as if he is acting in self-interest, when we all see that Elon is acting alongside President Trump in the national interest.
That is Matt Gaetz at a Turning Point rally in Arizona over the weekend. And it was also where Trump delivered his first post-election rally and spoke highly of what's happening with Congress now as he moves forward. And they got the budget cut from 1,500 pages down to 100 or so, cut out a lot of pork, and at the same time guaranteeing things that are needed for emergency aid and help for farmers. But that was because Elon Musk did tweet out. I won't say it was because, but it followed Elon Musk tweeting out the other day when that 1,500-page got dropped on all the members of Congress to read within 3 days, or the government would shut down at midnight Friday. He said, it's full of pork, and he started digging in and issuing different pieces of how the money would be spent. Part of it, one of it, was going to be for continuing to fund a government-funded, a government agency charged with investigating reporters if they're not doing good stories or doing stories that apparently make the government happy. Censorship, paid for by you. That's just one small example of the pork that was built inside. Look, every member of Congress, when they're elected, one of the things they want to do is bring jobs and dollars to their district. It makes them look good, and the people living in that district benefit. They like it. But now, if that money didn't go to that district, it went somewhere else where everybody's crying foul. That is just part and parcel of politics, period. But you reach a point now when we're at $36 trillion, approaching $37 trillion in debt, you got to say, stop it. Put an end to it. I was looking at a clip from Ronald Reagan the other day, and he's saying, quoting Milton Friedman, which I'd also seen stated directly, you don't find people as anxious to spend their own money as they are to spend someone else's money. And that's true. I'm sure you'd like to take whatever money I have and buy whatever you want with it. But you don't want to spend your money to do it, even if you have it. Even if you have it. But, of course, Gaetz is also a lightning rod, has been for some time anyway, and the heat is beginning to ramp up. That 37-page report that got released this morning concluded that Matt Gaetz violated multiple Florida state laws related to sexual misconduct while in office. The committee concluded, and I'm reading direct from the report, at least as it's transcribed here, I assume it is accurate. I don't have the actual report in hand. I want to clarify that for you. But I have it as reported by Fox News and how they wrote it. The committee concluded there was substantial evidence that Representative Gaetz violated House rules, state and federal laws, and other standards of conduct prohibiting prostitution, statutory rape, illicit drug use, acceptance of impermissible gifts, the provision of special favors and privileges, and obstruction of Congress. Now, Gaetz has consistently denied any allegations of any wrongdoing. And he points out, look, there was earlier a federal investigation, and it ended without any charges against me. He is filing a lawsuit trying to block the release of this report, but it's already basically out there. The report from the committee states that Gaetz, quote, continuously sought to deflect, deter, or mislead the committee in order to prevent his actions from being exposed. The report also claims that despite his denials, Gates made tens of thousands of dollars of payments to women, quote, likely in connection with sexual activity and our drug use from 2017 to 2020. Now let's stop here right moment. If you are a Gates supporter and you're a diehard Republican conservative and you just believe they're building all this up, and it, you know, I'm waiting to see evidence as well. I'm just reading what the Ethics Committee report stated. This is the same kind of stuff Hunter Biden is accused of. Of course, no criminal charges filed in that case. It's just all part and parcel of the Hunter Biden family and Hunter himself. There is, in the report, one alleged sexual encounter, and I say alleged, that he had sex with a 17-year-old minor at a summer 2017 party. The report concluded that act itself violated Florida's statutory rape law, even though the girl identified in the report admits she never told Gates her age. That he assumed, didn't care, was drunk, or she just never thought to bring it up. Hey, I'm only 17. But he had sex with her. The girl claimed she got $400 in cash from Gates, which she did understand to be payment for sex. And she also said she was under the influence of ecstasy at the time and allegedly saw Gates using cocaine. The committee report stated it did not receive any evidence indicating Gates was aware the girl was a minor when he allegedly had sex with her. But the report also says he refused to comply with subpoena demanding an interview and intentionally withheld information about a trip to the Bahamas with women. Gates has admitted several times now, yeah, I was a wild and crazy guy and I did things I shouldn't have. I'm a different man now. Everybody changes and we all get wiser. I look back over my past. There are some things that I'm not particularly proud of. It didn't get me in trouble. Could I have faced trouble if I were up for some kind of, if I were running for congressional office or something? Yeah, that might have been brought up at that point. Would it be anything that would keep me from becoming a congressman? I'm not sure. But would it damage a campaign? Just the rumor, much less the fact, is enough to do so. There is nothing I've done illegal. I will state that to you. Speaking about legality and so forth, if you had not heard the story of this man on the New York subway, decided to pour lighter fluid or some kind of other flammable over a woman sleeping in one of the subway cars and then lit it. And she's on fire and he sits on a bench outside the subway car watching as she finally awakens in shock, trauma, the body still moving, trying to get out of the subway car, engulfed in flames. And on the same day that story comes to light, Mayor Hochul of New York State says our subway systems are safer than ever. Come use them during the holiday season. I've been in New York during the holiday season. It's fantastic. Subway cars can be crowded. They can also be filled with joy. And you're always still kind of watching out at the same time. But this was 15 plus years ago. Things have changed. And in fact, the guy they arrested for this, turns out he was an illegal. He was arrested by Border Patrol in 2018 after crossing illegally in Arizona. Deported by the Trump administration days later. And then he re-entered the U.S. illegally at some unknown date and location. Thank you, Joe Biden and company. You know, sometimes a brush with death for you or a loved one will draw you closer to God. The New York Archbishop is suggesting that might explain a change in Donald Trump.
There seems to be a newfound appreciation for the role of faith, especially in our country, okay? I think President Trump tapped into that, don't you?
I do.
I mean, I've had talks with him before in the past where he's pretty blunt about, you know, he can't say that he was raised as a very zealous Christian, but he takes his Christian faith seriously. He has a lot of memories about Norman Vincent Peale, the famous preacher here in New York, down a ways on Fifth Avenue. And I think he means it. And I think the assassination attempts kind of renewed in him. Oh, my. There's something beyond me that I think is watching over me and has got a task for me. And what he expresses personally seems to be expressed more and more throughout the world. And that's part of America.
And that's also part of maybe a renewal across the world, not just our nation. And just the other day in Ireland at a Catholic service, you had protesters invade the Catholic service carrying signs in support, not of the PLO, but of Hamas. It has gotten so bad in the anti-Semitism in Ireland, and who's perpetuating it, I don't know. I haven't had time to look into all of it, but that's what it's gotten into. The man speaking then you were listening to talking about how Trump seems to be recognizing the value of his faith in his maker more often. The New York Archbishop, Timothy Michael Dolan. He was born in St. Louis, 1950. In fact, his dad was a floor supervisor at McDonnell Douglas. They later moved to Baldwin, Missouri. He exhibited a strong interest in the priesthood at an early age, saying, "I can't remember a time I didn't want to be a priest." In fact, as a child, he would pretend to celebrate Mass. He later entered the St. Louis Preparatory Seminary in Shrewsbury, Missouri, got a Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy degree from Cardinal Glennon College in Shrewsbury, ordained a priest at Holy Infant Church for the Archdiocese of St. Louis, in 1976. In 2001, he was appointed as auxiliary bishop of St. Louis. So he served in various levels, has a great St. Louis connection. I've met him and been around him several times, and just a joy each time. It's been several years since I have, and now he is the Archbishop of the largest diocese in the New York, or should say in the nation, that would be New York. What he's talking about, be it Trump or you and your family, there are times and reckonings we come to in our consciousness and sometimes unconsciousness, in a sleep, a dream. And you look back over what you have and what you've achieved and what you've avoided that could have brought you disaster. And maybe it was God's hand on you. Maybe you see it that way. Maybe you just count it up to luck. I used to be the same way. I'm lucky. No, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Things I have been saved from that could have led to injury, if not death. Blessed to have children and grandchildren who are in great health. And those who suddenly have a tragedy befall them while they're proclaiming love of Christ and God, it's difficult to reason and understand. But the Bible makes it very clear there are things we will never understand. This Christmas day, is also the beginning of Hanukkah. Two of the world's major religions celebrating in their own way, starting on Christmas Day. Christmas Day for the Christians, of course, the birth of Christ, the only greater holy day for Christians is Easter. Christ rose from the dead after paying for our sins. Be you Christian or Catholic, Muslim, or any other religion, I do wish blessings upon you and your family. On behalf of Quentin and the rest of us here at News Talk STL, we wish you a most blessed holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, or whatever. And remember our pledge says it all. One nation under God.